am so grateful this morning for our church family. Something is happening here. Maybe we can't see it. Maybe we can't feel it. But we are practicing an act of faith today that our shepherd will supply our need. That no storm can shake our inmost calm, even when calm and steady is not what we feel. We are trusting that God will strengthen us still. God's grace to us as we navigate these days. The scripture passages today are short. The trouble is obvious. This world can be heartbreaking. If each person here and online were to raise our hands, if we have experienced sorrow and distress, we could all wave to one another. God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others who have experienced trouble with the comfort we have received from God. And maybe that is part of why God has given Zion a ministry of caring for people, in addition to ministries of generosity and outreach and so on. We care for people best from what God has given to us. Leadership experts say that it is easier and more effective to increase what we are already doing well. And so we're going to seek to receive today God's comfort so that we have more of God's comfort to offer to others. Today, as we gather to experience God's comfort, which by God's doing strengthens our sharing of comfort, the good news is God is comforting us in our sorrow. And the good news is that being comforted by God means we have something of lasting value to pass on. And the good news is that in our crushed state today, we do not have to be heroes. Jesus is. Scripture Paul read, God saves us when we are crushed in spirit. God does that. So first, there are some weeds in our thinking that need pulled out. Let's call this first weed crabgrass. When tragedy strikes a community, as it has ours this week, in young Quinn's death, I notice I have anger. Now, anger is not sin. Anger can cause us to sin. Anger is a normal human emotion. And incidentally, it's the only emotion strong enough to hold back deep sorrow. More than just needing to pay attention to what my anger is trying to reveal, I noticed my anger on Thursday at God. Why didn't God stop this? Quinn was a delight and a joy. Why does God allow such deep suffering here? I reflected, I prayed, and I learned that a better way than blaming God is this. Why blame God for what the devil did? It was the devil who instigated brokenness in the world. Yes, I know Eve and Adam. Yes, God allows suffering on this side of things because this is not yet the new heaven and the new earth, where there will be no more mourning and no more crying and no more pain. For the old order of things will pass away. Death will die. I am looking forward to that because Jesus triumphed over death for us. So let's not get tricked into getting Satan and God mixed up. God loves us so extravagantly that God allowed God's only Son to die, that we may have new life even now in our sorrow. Jesus' death was a devastating loss for his disciples. I wonder if you can picture them, their mentor, their teacher, their friend, the only one with such wisdom and insight, even to hear the sound of his voice again. 3 years is not enough time when someone has so transformed your world. They don't know it yet, but Easter is a-coming. They've been on this journey of following after Jesus, and now everything is confusing and strange without him. But the stone is about to move, and the ground is about to rumble. And Jesus is about to step out into the garden and crush all the crabgrass. So let's go back to that first weed that slithers its way into our minds when there is a tragedy. Our loving God allows suffering in this world for a time, and Satan is the one in that first garden mucking up the place. Jesus said, Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan doesn't have pity on us in our moments of sorrow. I don't want to blame God anymore for what Satan does. Weed number two. Let's call this one the dandelion. This weed that needs loosened from our thinking is that we blame ourselves for what went wrong. Now, everybody here, as far as I know, is fully human, no robots. And that means we make mistakes. We sin. And that sin causes harm and pain for ourselves and for one another on this side of things. But when there is an accident, we sometimes assign blame to ourselves. And here's one of the reasons why. If we blame ourselves, we get a sense of security, of control. Oh, if I had only closed that door. Oh, if I had left 5 minutes sooner or 5 minutes later, things would have been different. But blame is like a rocking chair. Blame is endless rumination that gets us nowhere. Blame is like a dandelion those first days of spring when we are eager to see something cheery and beautiful instead of the brown grass and the bare trees. Blame is deceptive like a dandelion with thorns that injure and roots that grow down deep. When our hearts long for control and security, better than blaming ourselves is running to Jesus for comfort. But actually, in our tiredness and despair, we have no energy to run, and that's fine. Jesus runs to us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will be comforted. That means for every one of us struggling today, God's comfort is available for us now. Jesus is present. If you are wondering what that looks and sounds like to experience comfort from Jesus, this is a discovery God wants to give us. So God, for every heart seeking comfort, lead us. Do so this morning. There's a story I'm going to share about experiencing God's comfort, and it comes from a book I want to recommend to you called Praying God's Word by Beth Moore. For me, this book has helped dismantle idols in my life and replace them with prayers from Scripture. It's a book I've returned to again and again, and I will leave this in the front pew if anybody would like to look at it. I'll also leave two books by Kate Bowler, which have brought comfort. Beth shares a story about Janine Dooley And I'm going to shorten it a bit here and there. But mostly these are her words. Our relationship began years ago when I was a mom of two young children and in my late 20s. One of the members of our Sunday school class brought an urgent prayer request to our attention one Sunday. A mother in a nearby town had two young children, a toddler and a baby, who were gravely ill. These were her only children. The doctors were mystified by the cause of their matching illnesses. But the prognosis for both looked dim. Because most of us were mothers about her same age with children similar ages, we were devastated for her. We fell on our faces before God in prayer, interceding as hard as we could. The thought that those two children might pass as the doctors feared was inconceivable until it happened. We were overcome with grief for a precious set of parents we had never met. All of us prayed fervently for God to give them a reason to live. Because God had indelibly engraved this Christian couple on our hearts, we were filled with great rejoicing over a year later when we heard the news that God had given them a brand new baby. I cannot explain our shock and our grief months later when we learned that this little one had taken on the same symptoms as the siblings. A few days later, we received word that the third child of Steve and Janine Dooley had died. We were wrought with confusion and questions, and our young faith rocked like a rickety boat in a winter storm. My class and I could not begin to imagine the suffering of this heartbroken couple. Janine was 31. Had buried all three of her children to a rare genetic problem and would never be able to have any more. Having still never met them or corresponded with them personally, we all vowed to intercede as long as God left the burden on our hearts. A short while later, I took a different Sunday school class, and most of us went our separate directions in church life. For several years, this couple came to my mind almost daily. Over the next decade, I still thought of them often. I had no idea what happened to them or whether their marriage had survived such unimaginable tragedy. Several years ago, I received a letter at my home address. It began, "Dear Beth, you do not know me, but I feel as if I know you. I have become familiar with you through your Bible studies. Recently, I learned of the loss of your adopted son and his return to his birth mother. I am heartbroken for you, and I am writing to tell you that I am committing to pray you through your loss. I know that right now, you might think you will never find joy in life again, but I am writing to encourage you. God is faithful. I know because years ago, I lost three children. My eyes fastened to those four words as a shock wave went through me. I had only known one couple who had ever lost all three of their children. I flipped the letter over to see the signature. I cannot describe all the feelings that surged through my soul when I saw the closing. With love and prayers, Janine Dooley." I burst into tears and I called directory assistance in that small city. I shook all over as I phoned her immediately. I sobbed as I said, "Janine, I prayed for you on my face before God over and over when you lost those three precious children, and now you are praying for me." I insisted then, as I still insist now, that our losses could not possibly be compared. Michael is still very much alive. My name doesn't even belong in the same paragraph as hers. In no way was our suffering similar. What was similar, however, was our resolve to make it in Christ, no matter what came our way. We have built a long-distance friendship on that similarity. Neither one of us could fathom how the Lord had woven our lives together through praying for absolute strangers, yet sisters in the body of Christ. When I began this book and planned this chapter, I knew I couldn't do it without Janine. She is proof positive that we can survive any loss and trust God to sustain us, restore us, and eventually even grant us joy, purpose, and abundant life. When I asked if I could use her tender story in the scriptures to which she cleaved in her devastation, she wrote, "I consider this a joyous occasion to be able to share the scriptures that God has used to bring about healing. I asked God many years ago to please use me in any way that might glorify God's name and in a way that would bring comfort to those in pain. At this point in my life, I feel that God has brought me to a place where 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 is very real and a part of who I am. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received." God is stretching our experience, stretching us to experience God's comfort, so that the comfort that we share is even more reflecting of God. It's like the mom whose child keeps pattering over to her bed at night because they woke up with a bad dream. The child keeps wanting comfort. The mom wraps the soft blanket around and picks up the favorite stuffy. But this goes on night after night after night. The mom keeps getting woken up because in the dark of night, even those comforts are inadequate. We want security, and that's only found in God in a lasting way. There are deep difficulties about this life. What we plan on as certainties turn out to be wisps and illusions. And we have traded the good news of God for something temporary. The good news of God is in our weakness right now, we are loved by a God who is present wherever we go, whether we feel it or not. The presence of the Spirit is not, it does not require us to turn the dial on. Feeling the air move across our skin is not required. God is present because this is who God is. I love the way I've seen this morning and these past couple of days, the care and love for one another in this congregation. I'll share two stories of people who comforted me this week. I'm not even family, and I have experienced comfort through you from God. First, someone here saw me at Kate's soccer game on Thursday, and they knew it was a heavy day. And they said, "May I give you a hug for the heaviness that you carry?" Such a simple act, and yet I felt seen and cared for, understood and strengthened. Second, someone prayed Psalm 23 and pointed out that at the very center of the psalm in Hebrew, which in our wording we always build to a climax at the end, but in the Hebrew, the essence of it, the heart of it is in the middle, and at the very center of Psalm 23 in Hebrew is the phrase, "For you are with me." That's true for Quinn, and that's true for each of us. God, equip us to be people who can point each other to the promises and hope we have about God from Scripture. This feeling in the pit of our stomachs and the lump in our throats today is not how this ends. Not by far. The deep pain we feel right now is evidence of the deep love we have for the Myers family, the Suttles family, and for one another. That deep pain is an evidence of deep love, and it is but a fraction of God's love for us. We try to hold back the pain, and in so doing, we push away the love. God's comfort is right here for us today, amid our suffering and our loss. May God comfort us now to overflow. Amen.